Like when you were a kid, if you would get like allowance money or birthday money or something like that, like, did you already know like exactly what you wanted to spend it on? Like, were there seasons of your life where like, I'll spend all my money, or were you one of those savers?
I was not. Well, I usually would save up and then get one. It was an intention to get something. You know, like I didn't just save because I was like, I don't need anything. It was like, yeah. I'm saving because I want this. I want this pair of shoes.
What was it? When you were a little kid, what was it?
Well, for me, my favorite thing to do when I was a little kid was just like, Dad, let's go to Dick's Sporting Goods. Let's drive to Knoxville.
Okay.
Whether I have money or not, let's just go. Like, I want to...
You just go look around.
I want to put my hand in every baseball glove. I want to grab every bat. I want to pick up every football.
Yeah.
Find which one I would buy if I had the money.
Like, yeah.
Any sport, like... I would read every East Bay catalog from cover to front to cover.
That's old school.
Anything that had...
That's like, back when they made those Umbro soccer shorts.
Yeah. They had like the diamond patterns on them.
Yeah.
They were like silky smooth.
Those were amazing. They don't make them anymore.
Umbro. Yeah, if you have some of those, you're an OG. But like, anytime I could go to like a sporting goods store and just walk around, you know, like spend an hour, grab every golf club, see if it was one that I would use, you know, like...
Yeah.
It was, oh my gosh.
Because my son is like, he goes from Lego set to Lego set of like the superhero movies that he loves.
Oh yeah.
So it's just like, and right now he's in a mode of like saving money to buy his next Lego set. So he's like trying to do every chore in our house. Like he comes up to me, he's like, hey, how can I help you? And it's like, do you mean how can you help you?
Yeah, how can you?
But like.
It's like when you buy your dad, your family's like, we're going to get Dad a TV for Christmas. It's like, are we? Is it for
we're
Dad?
We're going to get Dad a PlayStation.
Yeah. Dad really needs this PlayStation.
For me, it was comic books.
Oh, really?
Like when I was a kid, it was comic books.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a paper route like in the 7th grade and the 8th grade and the 9th grade. And so it was like, I actually had like subscriptions to comic books.
Mm.
And I also bought a starter jacket and a pair of Jordans.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Classic.
We like, I think for a minute there, my actual allowance was $4 a week.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was like...
You can't buy a ball glove with $4
a week. No, but I had to ask for it. It wasn't like, okay, on Friday, you were getting your... It was like, I had to like fight for it. And it was like, you guys told me you would do this. Like, yeah, we did, I guess. So like, honestly, I would like, once I started driving, I would just... call my grandma and check in on her. Like, hey, this is terrible that I'm admitting this.
This story's about to go downhill.
Yeah, but it was like, hey, Nina, how are you doing? Knowing that she would turn around and say, how are you doing? And it wasn't like, how are you doing well? It's like, no, how are you doing? And I knew like...
Like, I'm a little broke.
No, I would say like, no, Nina, I'm great. And she's like, are you sure? And I'm like, well...
I could use a new pair of shoes.
She would say, come on by. I'll be standing outside waiting on you. Because she'd do.
How much money would she give you?
They usually would... At least a 20, sometimes 2.
Wow.
Yeah. Or if she ever...
It's like in a few weeks, you would get those Nike Pegasuses.
Yeah. Like, you know, even she would come over to our house for dinners and she would just give me a hug and stick her hand in my pocket and leave a 20 in there. That's like how she did that.
Dude, Nina was your plug.
Yeah, Nina was the plug. I don't do that anymore because I have a job.
Right. But... So what you're saying is, despite the fact that you've grown and matured, if you didn't have a job, you might still be just visiting Nina?
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll still say, if I call her, she's like, are you doing okay?
Yeah, but this is also true for those of you listening. A few weeks ago, I took a high school guy over to Thomas's parents' house to do some yard work so he could raise money for Young Life Camp. And And so Thomas's aunt, Beth, and his Nina, like, they drove up. And Nina walked out, and I was like, hey, how's it going, Mrs. Engel? And she was like, hey. And then she was looking at this guy beside me, and I was like, hey, this is my friend Eric. And she goes, oh. And we were standing there for a while, and she was like, I just assumed that was Thomas. And she was 2 feet away from me.
Sweet Nina.
And this dude looks nothing like Thomas.
No,
like,
nothing.
Nothing
I mean,
at all.
Oh,
we both have dark hair.
Yeah, we both have dark hair. I have darkish skin.
You're both human beings. And you're both males.
I'm 6'3", he's probably 5'10". You know,
that's where the similarities are.
Yeah. But, you know, Nina, she's awesome.
Well, welcome to Ancient and New. This episode has obviously been brought to you by Dick's Sporting Goods and Nina,
I guess. My grandmother.
And the Oak Ridger and the old school paper carriers.
If you're out there wondering, what does Thomas's grandma look like? Google Bilbo Baggins from Return of the King.
I can't believe you did it. We were both thinking
she loves it. Yeah, no, she loves it. She's my grandma was like, she loves to laugh. Whatever, like she loves if it's at whoever, like if it's at my expense, yeah. We'll laugh together about it forever. If she's, okay. You know, we have so much fun laughing.
That's good. Together. That's good. Well. So today on Ancient and New, we are going to have, again, some more meditations on some things that we found in the scriptures. And by the way, we're super thankful for the feedback you guys have been giving us on these episodes. We started this idea of just like, hey, let's talk about something cool we've seen in the scriptures and didn't know if it was going to work. And you guys have been extremely kind in that. So you care if I start today?
Go for it.
Okay. I want you to go last because I'm really excited about what you're going to talk about. Yeah. So I've been reading through the book of Isaiah, and it's been a long time since I've read Isaiah, and it's been amazing. It's been amazing in a few things. One, how awful human beings are and how good the Lord is to rescue us and to come after us and take care of us. Well, I'll just go ahead and read this. This is from Isaiah chapter 61, so almost the end of the book. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me," which, let me back up and say, this is the part of the book where there's a character that enters the book of Isaiah, this prophecy, that is called the Servant of the Lord. Hmm. And, like, this character comes out of nowhere. It's like, the Servant of the Lord. It's like, who is this person?
Is he like the Melchizedek of Isaiah?
Yeah, he just kind of comes out of nowhere. And like, on this side of, on our side of history, on our side of the cross, we know that the servant of the Lord is Jesus. But like, they didn't. It was just like this new character comes into a series that you're watching, you know, like, or you know, a book series that you're reading or something like that. This new amazing character pops up. And so this is the servant of the Lord speaking. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is such a cool set of verses. When I first read this, I mean, I can't read it out of the context of what happens in the New Testament, out of the context of the Gospels. It, for those of you who don't know, when Jesus was like just starting his ministry, he like one day went into the synagogue in his hometown. And he had like become a rabbi with some followers. And so like it was a common practice that they would let a rabbi just like bring a message when he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. So like it was a Sabbath day, he's in the synagogue and people are like, "Rabbi, why don't you share your heart on some scriptures for us?" So he gets somebody to hand him the scroll of Isaiah. And he unrolls to this part, chapter 61, and he read those verses.
Oh, wow.
That the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Lord has anointed me. In other words, the Lord has given me a mission. And the mission is to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoner, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then, after Jesus said that, he rolled up the scroll. It said every eye in the synagogue was on him. He handed it back to the attendant, and with everybody's eyes on him, he said, "Today, in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled." And you're like, boom! It's like this nuclear bomb of like, that scripture, that this character, the servant of the Lord that comes into Isaiah, it's like Jesus was essentially saying, "It was me the whole time. By the way, I'm here, and I'm here to do these things."
That's so cool. It's cool because, there's a bunch of Jesus sprinkled all throughout Isaiah, you know, like I just look, it was Isaiah 9. I literally just looked at it and then I closed it. But where it talks about to us, a son is born, to us,
that's
a child
right.
is given,
yeah.
the government be on his shoulders. So like,
yeah. And then back in chapter 7, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son.
Yeah.
And he'll be called Emmanuel.
You said that. And I thought about what it'd be like to be like today. It's cool. Every once in a while you will like, you'll see something if you're looking through the Old Testament, like through a Psalm or like, or it's like Psalm 22 or whatever, you're reading that and you're like, where have I heard? Oh yeah, it was, it was, you know, like, and just like that in Isaiah, it's like, where have I heard that? And then you think about, oh, it's talking about Jesus. I wonder what it was like then, you know, like to be one of those people in the crowd where you're
sitting
like,
in that room,
you're like, the dots are connected and like you just have a mind exploding moment.
Yeah. And then he leaves no room for doubt and just says, "Today in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled. I'm here to do this." And you're like, wait, you're here to do what again? And for those, a lot of people had scriptures just memorized, you know, a lot more than probably a lot of people do today. And so they're connecting, exactly as you're saying, they're connecting these dots that, like, Jesus is here to preach good news to poor people.
Yeah.
Freedom for captives. Mm. The year of the Lord's favor. Like, God is happy with you.
Right.
I have good news for you. I have release for you. To bind up the brokenhearted. I think one of the things that appealed to me so much about this scripture when I read it was just the fact that the things that our world prizes as important are not the things that Jesus came to do anything about.
Right.
Like, you know, that people want to be secure in money. They want to have an important place in the society. They want to be important. They want to have a lot of money. They want to be secure. They want to be popular. They want to be well thought of. And Jesus said, I came for the poor.
Mm.
I came for the brokenhearted. I came for the prisoner. I came for the downtrodden. I came to give good news and bind up wounds and all these things. And I just think that's cool. I think it's cool because for those of us who maybe had a broken heart this week, it's like, Jesus came for me.
Hmm.
For those of us who have felt trapped sometime in the past month, Jesus came for me.
Hmm.
I think so many of us try to spend so much time getting out of a situation that the world doesn't value, right? So, like, if I'm broke, it's like, I got to get out of that situation.
Right.
Nobody in the world values that. And Jesus is like, I've got good news for the poor, you know? Whatever that situation is, like, the more you hurt, the more Jesus came for you.
Right.
Gosh, that is such awesome news, you know, that the things the world values, that's not what Jesus came to secure.
Right.
But for those of us who are hurting, he came for you.
Right. In Isaiah 14, it says, the poorest of the poor will find pasture, and the needy will lie down in safety.
Mm.
It's good to be needy.
It's super sweet. It's awesome to be needy.
Yeah. Because it's like you're saying, there's no worldly person, place, or thing that would say, like, it's good to be needy. It's the world we live in, you know. Like, I gotta prove myself. I gotta get all the stuff.
I think one thing I want to do with this scripture, and one thing I would encourage other people to do with this thought, is the next time you find yourself in some kind of desperation, instead of trying to figure out, how do I get out of this, take a minute and realize, oh, I'm the person Jesus came for.
Mm.
You know, like, when I find myself desperate, our tendency is just like, I've got to fix this immediately. I've got to do whatever it takes to fix this situation, get out of this. Well, okay, but, like, first, take a time out, have a seat, and reflect on the fact that Jesus came for you.
Mm.
To preach good news to you, to bind up your broken heart, to proclaim freedom for you, and to say to you, hey, this is the year of the Lord's favor.
Mm.
God's happy with you. That's why I'm here. Mm. That's the good news. God loves you.
Mm. I was at the beach last week with my family, and I have two really cool sisters, but Abby and I have a super sweet friendship, and I don't know what we were talking about, but actually, we were talking about, like, who would be buddies with if in the Gospels. Like,
okay.
Who would be our buddy? Like,
yeah.
My brother-in-law was saying, like, no, Abby was saying, because I was like, man, I think Peter is so cool. I don't know how similar we are, but, like, I think he's so cool. It would have been fun. Abby was like, we are not similar. We would not get along, you know. But for some reason, it led her to say, like, I could read the Gospel of John over and over again.
Mm.
Just because of the way he wrote it, everything. And
yeah.
So I kind of ran out on something I was doing, and the other day that was going on in my head, so I just started the Gospel of John. And that, if you've read it, you know, like, he's poetic. And I think especially in the first 18 verses, it's just like, this is deep, and you're a wordsmith. But I kind of started doing this thing where I'm usually pretty structured about my quiet time. And when I started reading John, I thought to myself, like, okay, we're not just going to do a passage. We're not just going to do a chapter. You're just going to read. And then you stop where you want to, reflect. If something jumps out at you after two verses,
you
want to
camp out there.
You're there. Yeah. That's where you are. And that's what I did. And I got to verse 12 of chapter 1. And it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. And I was like, I like kept reading. I was like, I'm gonna keep. I was like fighting back and forth. Do I stop? Do I keep reading? And then I stopped and I thought, okay, what does it mean to be a child? Okay, that's not good enough. What does it mean to be the child of someone who is the father that I've like always longed for?
Wow.
And gives me more than I could have wanted? You know, and like, what does it mean to be someone's child on earth? Like, when you think of a father who's like good at being a father,
right?
How do they feel about their child? That's what I thought to myself. And I was like, I listed off a bunch of things. I was like, man, they love the mess out of their kid. They do anything for them. They care about them. They would make sure that, you know, they would move the earth to make sure everything is going okay for them. And then, like, I remember this thing. I don't know if E.V. Hill said this or who it was. It was like, we like think of God in human characteristics. And I thought to myself, man, I am like the child of a father who is like outside of human characteristics. I think about all those awesome things he definitely thinks about me as a child. And then to multiply that times feelings I've never felt or like thoughts I've never had about someone because he's God. Oh my gosh. It stopped me. And I was like, that's it for today. That is it. That's what I'm going to walk out of here today. And I think I just wrote like I may have just written the word child on my hand, you know, or something like that. I was like, I need to remember this today. I need to remember that I'm a child of God. I need to remember all the things that like a father would think about a child. God thinks about me in magnificent ways, in ways I've never even thought of before. Like, he cares about me. He loves me. He like is there to comfort me when I need it. He's there to hold me. I have this, you know, image of him. Just, that's who I think of right now. And some of you may be like, when I think of Father and God, I just can't do it. Like I, it's hard for me because of my earthly father or like whatever representations of a dad have been in my life. And, I'm sorry. That stinks. I'm really sorry. But this hit me this week. It was like, man, I'm a child. I'm a child of God. He's my father.
You know, one thing that's really cool about that is I love how the way John says it in that poetic kind of movement that you're a child not born of human decision or husband's will, but by the will of God. Is that the way he ends that little thing? Mm-hmm. Like, it's interesting because, you know, earthly fathers, earthly parents, they don't choose what their kid is going to be like when you conceive a child and you get what you get, you know, and then, and you love that kid. I mean, you know, it's like a good parent loves that kid that they get and they just fall for him, you know, and then that's their kid. And to think like, to be a child of God, I'm not only the child of a parent who loves me as their kid, I'm a child of a parent who did pick me, who chose what I was going to be like. Like, I wasn't just a crapshoot and he decided, okay, I'm going to love this kid that, you know, I've got a kid that's like this, so this is what I'm going to love. I mean, that's awesome. But that I'm also the child of the one who created me to be the me that I am. I think for so many people, if they were being honest, the easiest question they could answer is, what would you change about you if you could change something? And that, like, immediately they could think of things. I would change this. I don't like this about me. I don't like that about me. And to think like, God made me this way on purpose. And he wanted to be a dad to me. He wanted this in his family.
Right.
Which, like, I'm like, I got 20 people I've wished I could be like.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, like, I wish I had this person's height or this person's athletic ability or this person's voice or this person's brains or whatever. And God is like, I wouldn't change any of those things about you. I made you this way on purpose. Right. So, you know, the human decision or husband's will, no, but by the will of God, not only am I his kid, but I was made specifically this person because he wanted me in his heart.
Right.
And in his family and in his life.
It's that thing in Psalm 139 where he says, knit together, knit me together in my mother's womb. That's Psalm 139.
Yeah, that's right.
I make that up. Okay.
Yeah.
Just making up my own Bible.
You got it.
But like, I think of someone who's been, I think of like a seamstress or someone. A seamstress is on my head because we just listened to Tiny Dancer and
the seamstress for the band.
Yeah,
so gosh, what a great song! And it was the Florence and the Florence and the Machine yes. version so on the revamp and restoration.
Oh my gosh, if you haven't listened to that, it's also this podcast is also brought to you by
Florence and the Machine.
Yes, Florence and the Machine. Good night.
Gosh, that's a great version of that song.
I always just want to say her name is Florence Nightingale, and that's not it.
I don't know if Florence Nightingale could sing the way Florence and the Machine sings.
Gosh, she's got a second gear.
Get it,
but the idea of like stitching something or like sewing something or knitting something, like I'll go watch baseball at my pastor's house and his wife will sit there and knit the whole time and watch the game. Yeah. But it is such a like intimate and delicate thing. Like she's knitted me hats and scarves before. And
she's counting the loops.
Right. She made you a hat.
Yeah.
That had all the words to, it was one of the Hamilton songs.
Yeah. Well, all like it was some representation of all the songs.
But it clearly written, and I think of how detailed that had to be, how precise it had to be for her to do that. He didn't make me by accident. He didn't. I don't have this type of personality by accident. Like it was individually knit and sewn in there, weaved in there perfectly. Man, that's a sweet thing.
It's a super sweet thought to think that things about myself that I'm frustrated with, God wanted that in his family,
right.
in his kingdom, in his house. There are things in there that need to go, that he is redeeming and changing and stuff like that. But like, what if you took some time not only to think about the fact that I'm a child of God, but to think about like, and I'm me.
Mm.
I'm the child he wanted.
Right.
I'm not a child that he's stuck with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a child he's putting up with. Like, you're the kid that he wanted to be in his family. He wanted your personality. He wanted your heart. Like, the things that just make you belly laugh. And like, the sound of your laugh. Mm. Like, he just loves you. Like, so for Christy and me, our oldest kid just started running cross country, and like Christy took her to practice the first day, and like I had this moment where I called Christy and I was like, what was it like dropping her off at practice? And Christy said, it was precious. Like, and she didn't have to explain it. I knew what she meant. Like, everything about this child is precious to me. And the idea of her like growing up and going to her first practice in a high school sport,
right.
it's like everything they do is, it's like, it's precious. Yeah, sometimes they drive you nuts, but like, but even in there, it's like, that's your kid. And to think, but I'm also the kid he made.
Mm.
I'm the kid he loves, but I'm the kid that he made to be this way so that he could love me.
Mm.
That's crazy. It's trippy.
Yeah.
It's a sweet thing. This is the good news to know that.
That's right.
I'm his kid.
Mm.
That's awesome. Well, for those of you who care about this kind of thing, we are recording this at Thomas and Devin Rodriguez's house, which is I call the nest, and
I mean that's like by definition we live in the smallest house in Oak Ridge.
Yeah, it's like a little nest.
Yeah,
it's like it's kind of like a house, but it's also kind of like a little nest.
We are currently recording in my living room, kitchen, and dining room at the same time.
Like, Thomas is so tall that, like, if he spreads his arms, like his wingspan, he could turn, like, in a circle and he could be in all the rooms at once.
My bed is in a closet.
That's
because
true.
It has to be. It won't fit in my
Thomas
room.
Technically fits in his bed, in his bedroom.
Yeah, technically.
Technically.
There's no room for activities.
No. And, yeah, so we're coming to you live from the nest, and we may be doing this for a while. So
yeah.
this has been a good spot for us.
Yeah.
Just cars going up and down New York Avenue.
If you hear things like that, that's what it is. It's a car.
So today's podcast has been brought to you by The Nest, by Florence and the Machine, and by Bilbo Baggins.
And the letter N.
Hey, until next time, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New.